From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. A funding bill impasse in Congress is increasing the possibility of a government shutdown, an event that could ripple through Maine. Steve Missler has more.
The stalemate could affect 12,000 federal workers in the state, but not all would be furloughed. Those working as air traffic controllers, border control, and the Postal Service are deemed essential and would work without pay. Workers at Acadia National Park would likely be furloughed, but it's unclear if the Trump administration will keep the park open to visitors, as it did during the last shutdown between 2018 and 2019. Recipients of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid will continue to receive benefits, but some services may be limited depending on the duration of a shutdown. Mothers and young children who rely on the Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC, could feel the effects sooner if the state doesn't step in to provide additional funding. Republicans in Congress are pushing for a stopgap funding measure that would largely keep federal spending at existing levels until mid-November. But Democrats want to include an extension of health care subsidies that expire at the end of the year, affecting roughly 54,000 Mainers. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Meantime, federal tax credits of up to $7,500 for new and used electric vehicles expire today. But as Peter McGuire reports, some Maine customers can still qualify for rebates to put a battery-powered car on the road.
Republican lawmakers and President Trump eliminated the tax benefit in their expansive spending bill this summer. But in Maine, low and moderate income people, governments, and businesses can still apply for up to $7,500 to buy a battery electric vehicle through Efficiency Maine. And the agency also provides a steep discount for home EV chargers. Efficiency Maine says it has budgeted $2.4 million for electric vehicle incentives this year. Maine's climate plan calls to reduce greenhouse gas pollution by putting 150,000 battery electric and plug-in hybrid cars on the road by 2030. About 19,500 such vehicles were registered in the state as of the end of July, according to the Maine Department of Environmental Protection. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Attorneys representing State Supreme Court Justice Catherine Connors say she should not receive a public reprimand for failing to recuse herself in two cases. As Caitlin Bedayan reports, they say it would be dangerous and corrode judicial independence.
The Committee on Judicial Conduct was asked to determine whether Connors should have recused herself from two cases before the Supreme Court because of her previous foreclosure work as a practicing attorney. The committee found that she should have recused herself and is recommending disciplinary action. But in court documents, Connors' attorneys say she consulted the judicial branch's advisory committee on judicial ethics, which unanimously found that a recusal was not necessary. Connors' attorneys add that none of the parties in either case asked for Connors to be recused, and that there is no expectation that judges avoid hearing cases involving issues they have litigated in the past. The committee has until October 10th to file a reply. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
Maine's lawsuit against big oil companies for allegedly lying about the climate damage of their products will proceed in state court following a ruling from a federal judge. Richard Wiles from the Center for Climate Integrity says it's the latest setback for the fossil fuel industry that is fighting similar lawsuits around the country.
They think they're going to be more successful in federal court than state court. So they've argued in every single case to date to have the cases moved to federal court. And in every single case, they've lost.
Maine Attorney General Aaron Frey sued Chevron, ExxonMobil, and other companies last year. The suit alleges the companies knowingly sold polluting fuels that have caused harm through sea level rise, storms, drought, and other climate-related threats. Under pressure from activists and community groups, Cumberland County commissioners are weighing the future of the county jail's contract with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. But as Ari Snyder reports, one key issue is whether the board has the authority to change the agreement.
For months, activists have been pushing commissioners to stop letting ICE detain people at the Cumberland County Jail. On Monday, Commissioner Patricia Smith said while there are many unresolved legal questions, she was open to making changes.
I really think we need to look at the contract. We need to make some amendments. We need to potentially not work with ICE anymore. I think it's creating so much untrust.
Sheriff Kevin Joyce, however, told the board that state law requires him to take in detainees from federal agencies. Commissioners say they will hold an executive session with their counsel and immigration attorneys to address the specific legal questions of potentially changing the contract. The board plans to take up the matter again at their meeting next month. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
The News Guild of Maine now represents more than 200 employees of the statewide nonprofit Maine Trust for Local News, after almost 50 unrepresented workers voted yesterday to join the union. Megan Gray is a reporter for the Portland Press-Herald and the president of the News Guild of Maine. She says that after the nonprofit bought the local publications and began treating them as one company in one newsroom, it became obvious that some disparities needed to be addressed.
Reporters in different newsrooms are making wildly different pay rates, that some people were protected from layoffs while others were not, and people had different rights, even though they were doing very similar work.
Gray says existing contracts with the Maine Trust for Local News expire at the end of the year, and the union's next step will be to negotiate a contract that represents all workers. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll look back on the political influence of James Blaine. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.